Welcome to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. Today, Pat Dunford and I are going to go through the new previewed cards, Miles Morales and Gwen Stacy. Before we dive into that, I want to thank three distinct parties for helping keep this podcast alive. The first is our Patreons. You can check them out over at patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. They pay for the hosting, they pay for the audio engineering equipment and all that stuff. Thank you guys so much for helping keep the lights on. We really, really appreciate you. One of the ways we show appreciation to our patrons is through Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Inc. is a fantastic company, always selling Marvel Crisis Protocol at the maximum allowed discount price. If your local game store doesn't have what you need or can't find it, be sure to check out discountgamesinc.com. Last and certainly not least is Muzon Minis, purveyors of high-quality wargaming products made by gamers for gamers. If you're looking to step up your tabletop gaming accessories, be sure to check out MuzonMinis.com. All right, without any further ado, here is our episode about Miles Morales and Gwen Stacy.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a
on the line now. We have a being sent to us with the knowledge of generations past, present, and future. He was born outside of time itself, a witness to all realities. He was there when the sea and the sky were mixed together as one. He watched as humans floated out of the depths of the Pacific to gaze upon the stars. He was there as druids walked the earth, and he was there as mankind built their great cities and technologies. One man has witnessed it all. Someday, the dome of the heavens will collapse and the cold black avalanche of space will pour down around us. But today is not that day. Today, of all the times he chooses to be here, today, he chooses to talk to us. Today, Pat Dunford joins us to talk about Web Warriors. Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you, TT. Is this what you meant by the hot dog competition entry?
Yeah, man, that was like a 45-second monologue entry, or introduction right there.
Wow. I am hyped. I am jazzed to talk about Spider People now. What an entrance.
So we're going to be talking about the new leaked cards. Atomic Mass Games leaked them through their panel to play, their Twitch streams, and their Twitter account. Be sure to follow Atomic Mass Games to get all that information. But we're going to be talking about Spider-Man, aka Miles Morales, and Ghost Spider. And I'm really excited for them. And there's kind of an interesting backstory behind them, right, Pat? They were originally supposed to be CP10, right?
Yeah, which is released, they're originally supposed to be released around the time of Wakanda, right? It's around that CP level, very, very shortly after the game was released. So I think if AMG had got their way, we'd have had these in our hands like maybe 4 or 5 months ago. We've been told by some of the staffers on their Twitch streams that they had big production problems, they had to go and get things changed. And it meant that we're only finally getting our hands on these models now.
Yeah, I think they were supposed to release right after Venom, right? So I think it would have been initial release, Black Panther, Killmonger, Shuri Okoye, Venom, and then Spider-Man Ghost People were supposed to hit before the Asgardians, is I think how it was supposed to hit.
I'm sure the internet will
tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah, it would make sense for them to go with Venom, right?
Exactly. They tend to release boxes together, right, for affiliations. Venom has Web Warriors affiliation tokens in his box. So, yeah, it's obviously we've been waiting for them for a long time. And my goodness, they're really cool. They mix things up a bit. So I'm a little bit sad that we didn't get to play with them sooner, but I'm really happy that we finally do get to see what they do.
Yeah, again, I think they're a fantastic release. And let's just dive right into them. I thought we'd start with Spider-Man. This is the second Spider-Man in the game. This one is Miles Morales, though, and I thought it was a good time to go over kind of how the alter egos work, right? We covered that a little bit with Black Widow, but can we take both Spider-Mans in a single roster here, Pat?
Yes, we can. So when it comes to roster building, it is the alter ego that we care about. So we can have two Spider-Men as long as one is Miles Morales and one is Peter Parker. If we had a second Peter Parker, then those two would not be able to be in the same team, although one of them could be taken alongside Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah, so it's great to remember that. And I guess real quick, let's hit the Web Warriors. Like, who are the Web Warriors here, Pat?
So I don't know a lot about the Web Warriors when it comes to comics, right? But I have seen Into the Spider-Verse, which I'm sure most people have, right? It's a super cool film. And my understanding
best
is
Marvel
the Web Warriors...
movie ever.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's definitely up there. My understanding is the Web Warriors are very similar to the story that more of our listeners might have seen in Spider-Verse, right? They're a collection of spider people from across time and space who come together to, I don't know, fight crime, avoid catastrophe. That was a pretty lame explanation, TC. Help me out.
No, that's fine. When I asked who the Web Warriors are, I thought you were just going to name the four characters that were in the affiliation. But yeah, we can get into the fluff if you want. Usually the Celebration Matrix episode. But yeah, basically they've just all been brought together. There's different hooks that they use to bring them together, and they fight in the different universes, depending on which one there are. So there are multiple Spider-Men and Spider-Women, as we kind of get into. And that's why Spider-Man's used, but there's a different alter ego. So Miles isn't from the same universe as Peter Parker. So who are the four affiliation members in the Marvel Crisis Protocol game? Web Warriors, though, Pat.
Thank you for that specific question. They are Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, as well as Ghost Spider and Venom. So only four characters, but obviously they're right on theme. And I can't really think of any of the other characters that we have in the game right now that come close to fitting into this interdimensional team.
Yeah, Doc Octopus is the one, but we don't have to get into that. Then we're getting really comic book nerdy. So let's focus on the new characters we have. We have Spider-Man Miles Morales. What kind of jumps out to you at him, right? His top stat line is basically 5 stamina, 3 threat, so he's pretty cheap, and then just 3 defenses across the board.
Yeah, as well as medium movement. He basically has kind of like the default stats. I'm starting to think of them as, you know, how every miniatures game, start to see enough stat lines that you get common trends for what kind of like the average baseline is. And when I see 5 stamina, medium movement, size 2, 3 threat, 3 defenses, I think this is like the baseline, right? You have to be pretty bad to fall below this line. It's not exciting at all. It's the exact same stat line as Shuri, who is not known for her speed and is not known for her defensive prowess. Right. So from the start, just want to say this stat line is not good, but we're going to look at the rest of Miles' card, and I think that more than makes up for it.
Yeah, I think initially it's easy to see that medium speed and be like, he's kind of slow, but here's some other ways to get around the map. So what do you think about his attacks, Pat?
So he's got 2 attacks, and I really like them both. Webline kick is his free attack, the equivalent of a strike. It's range 3. It does 4 dice damage. So good range, not good damage. It gives power equal to damage dealt. And then it's got a very spicy inclusion of a wild throw that throws size 3 or less. So for a 3 cost character, even only on 4 dice, a wild throw is really cool. It's very, very strong. And then his other attack is also very exciting. Venom Blast, his signature move, is a range 2 7 dice energy attack that costs 3. Which already is fine. It's a useful spender to do a bit more damage. But it has the really cool and unique rule. After the attack is resolved, the target character drops all objective tokens they're holding. So this is a guaranteed way to make your opponent drop an objective. Really, really good for just spending 3 power to target a tough character who you're not expecting to be able to daze or KO, but to take the objective away from them and maybe then go running off if you have the power to pick it up.
Yeah, so a lot to unpack here. First, I want to hit a little bit on webline kick, and I guess we'll get into this a little more when we talk about web swing. I actually think the wild throw is really cool. I love that it throws above his weight class, so to speak, right? It's not quite a Thor-level throw, but him being able to throw character size 3 to me is really cool. Just kind of opens up the different things he can do. And for a builder, I just think it's a really solid move, right? I don't think anyone's upset with webline kick. A base builder at range 3 seems just really good.
Yeah.
Venom Blast is super cool, right? A little bit of a double entendre. Obviously, Venom does not want to get hit with a Venom Blast there. And it does make characters like Captain America or Thanos or even Groot. I guess I've been playing a lot of Guardians lately. Some of those characters who you put an objective on to kind of incentivize your opponent to attack through them, who are traditionally tankier, Black Panther even, right? It changes the dynamic of that a lot. And it's interesting for me to think about how they intended for this mechanic to be in the game pretty close to its release, right? And unfortunately, due to different production things, we've been delayed on that. But Venom Blast is really big, and I think it's a game changer.
I agree. It's really, really interesting. I just wanted to emphasize, Venom Blast special rule doesn't require damage to be done, and it isn't triggered on a wild, right? These are two restrictions that are very commonly seen on attacks. It is guaranteed that after you've used this attack, your target is going to drop their objective, either because of the effect or because they're dazed or KO'd. So if you have four power, you can guarantee that Miles can use Venom Blast and take their objective.
Yeah, three power, right? Venom Blast is cheap.
Yeah, right. Three to use, then one to pick it up.
Four to pick it up. Four to pick it up. You're right.
Yeah. And obviously, you can if you're lower on power, then you can, of course, just blast out of their hands and have someone else grab it later. But yeah, it's really good. And as you mentioned, the fact this was supposed to be in the game sooner, this is a unique effect on a cheap character. So I could see this alone making Miles a strong consideration for all manner of teams.
Yeah, and for a lot of the same, I'm going to compare him real quickly to Nebula, right? I think it's really cool that they've given us two very different ways to interact with opponents, either holding or contesting different scenario tokens. I know Spider-Man doesn't deal with the contesting well, but I think it's cool that they've kind of approached it two different ways, right? Nebula being that cheap character that can kind of punch above her weight when she's trying to go after an objective but can't interact with it. And Miles being the character that just makes you drop the thing, doesn't worry about dazing you at all, and has other ways to interact there. So I think that's just really cool design space. I'm excited to see what they kind of bring in the future. But I agree, Spider-Man or Miles Morales, I'm just going to call him Miles from now on. We're chummy. We're on first name basis. He's been great in Avengers, and I've really liked him. But yeah, Venom Blast is huge. Do you want to keep going, Pat? Do you want to chew through his superpowers?
So I'll go through his powers. I think we should save the first thing, his leadership, for last, because I think it's the biggest. And let's talk about the whole character, then come back to the leadership. But I'll mention leadership now, and then we'll talk about it later. Great responsibility, affiliation, Web Warriors. Allied characters may reroll one defense die. Additionally, they may modify and reroll failure results while they're holding or contesting an objective token. This is huge. Let's come back to it. The powers that make the character. We got Web Swing. This is an active superpower. It costs 2. Place this character within 3 of its current position. The next time it makes a web-lying kick attack this turn, add 2 dice to the attack roll. This superpower can be used only once per turn. We've got Spider Sense. This is an innate power, and it's exactly the same as the other Spider-Man. When defending against physical or energy attacks or making a dodge roll, Miles can reroll 2 of his defense or dodge dice. Then on top of that, he's got Stealth, and he's got Wall Crawler. So 2 more really, really good effects. So we were saying before that his webline kick looked good, but was a bit low on damage. His speed wasn't that great. His defenses weren't that great. And suddenly we have Web Swing and we have Spider Sense and Stealth. And suddenly all those problems are fixed.
I don't know if they're all fixed, but they're a lot better. And I'm way more excited about it, right? Web Sling with that 3-inch place, all of a sudden that medium movement doesn't really look bad at all, right? You're like, well, I'll just go wherever I want. I can just web sling. And the additional dice is huge too, especially when you're hunting for that wild throw. I'm sure Jacob will do a dice math on it, but 6 dice looking for wild is pretty good odds. You're well over 50% there. And then, yeah, Spider Sense and Stealth, those are just really good quality of life defensive things.
Yeah, so Web Swing gives him the same ability as Hawkeye, right, for the same price. He's a medium mover who can place 3 once per turn, but it has that extra upside that it boosts his damage. And it's one of those really helpful power spenders that boost the damage of your attack that generates you power. So if you have the power to pay for it upfront, you're likely to get some of that power back from the extra damage dice, which makes it very, very efficient. And I'm not surprised you said he's good in Avengers, because being able to web swing every turn, including turn 1, for 1 cost seems awesome. Right, being able to make as your opening play on turn 1, advance web swing and 6 dice webline kick seems really great.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot more to add to it. He just has a really nice thematic package associated with him, right? He really does feel like a Miles Morales Spider-Man. If you've only seen the movie, if you've read some of the comics or graphic novels, I think they did a great job of kind of embodying who Miles is and who we've kind of come to love, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Stealth for his invisibility power is an interesting choice. I wasn't expecting that it would be Stealth necessarily, but Stealth is a really good rule. And it's interesting to see a character other than the Black Widows have it, because it's obviously named in such a way that it's quite a general rule. And it suggests to me that we might see more characters in future. But already, just with Black Widow and Miles Morales, we have, like, we can start to have lots of things with stealth, right? We can start to have a situation where I have two characters on this flank and they both have stealth. And now you just, all of your attacks at longer range three lose so much value.
What was the name of the team tactics card we gained that dropped stealth? I can't remember what it was. I know we just got
Oh, yeah. Is it something along the lines of Marked for Death? Marked for Death. Yeah, Marked for Death is really good against Miles because it makes him speed slow and stops him from using spider sense, stops him from using great responsibility, and stops his stealth.
Yeah, so that's a card we were definitely kind of meh on, but now if Miles or more spider people become more common, right, cards like that can increase in power and respect. And that's just something I want to mention, that like any of these evaluations we do are kind of time boxed, right? They're relevant mm-hmm. for the time that we're looking at them. MCP cycles on itself so quickly that a lot of those things are going to change. But I really like Spider-Man Miles Morales. I think he's really cool. I like that stealth is actually a generic named ability. We've talked about that in the past. I don't want 10 different versions of stealth all with different names personally. I really like that stealth has a set amount of rules to it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I like Spider-Man. I like all of his stuff. Are we ready to talk about great responsibility?
Before we do, because it's related, spider sense. So three die on each defense, but for the two most common, rerolling two dice and five hit points. Does that mean Miles is actually quite a resilient three threat character? How do you rate him?
Better than average is what I'll say.
Better than average, probably when you include stealth as well. He's going to be annoying for enough characters, right? Because I think every mystic attack in the game is longer than range three. So his one defense that's bad, he's going to get stealth more reliably. And the others are pretty good.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't ready for the mystic attack range question. I think you're right.
Just blindside you with
that
radius.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird curveball there. I think they're all minimum range four. Anyway, Sorry, back on target here. Yeah, I think it's really good. So, I mean, here's the comparison that I'm making in my head, and I'll ask you this, Pat. Would you rather have Spidey Sense or Invulnerability? Or something that reduces incoming damage? I think I would rather have a reduction of incoming damage. So here's my logic behind it. I'm going to reroll two dice. On average, right, 50% of that time, or excuse me, right, less than 50% of that time, that dice is a success, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, just reducing one damage is actually better than rerolling two dice. So when I compare Spider-Man to Iron Man, I would rather have Iron Man's reduction of damage.
So I think I would too, but I might be wrong about that, right? Because I do think rerolling two dice mathematically is probably quite similar to one damage reduction. And of course, invulnerability limits you to still taking one damage, and this doesn't. So it's going to be better if you want to avoid damage completely. But you're right, it probably is less damage reduction overall.
Right, and we've talked about this, and just like you said, right, with a one damage attack into a Shuri Panther Gauntlets, right, you would rather have a Spider Sense, right? So there's all these caveats in it, and that's one of the things we love about MCPs. It's very hard to define a best. I know this is weird for this game. I prefer to play this game with rolling or depending on dice as little as possible. Rerolls definitely help, but I would still rather have a flat reduction personally. I would rather just live in that knowing, which is one of the reasons I love Venom Blast so much.
Yeah, just guaranteed.
Yeah, I do think it's great that Spidey Sense helps on dodge rolls. I'll shout that out again. I think that's really, really, really big.
Mm-hmm. But once again, so does something like Invulnerability, right? I think if it didn't, then I would definitely put Invulnerability over it. But it's interesting because I would consider Iron Man to be a tough character, and that comparison makes me think that Spider-Man is tough as well. The original Spider-Man, Peter Parker, got slated as being a bit too fragile, but he was also being considered for his cost of four. And Miles Morales is just tougher, right? Because they have the exact same defensive stats, but Miles also has stealth. and he's cheaper. So that makes me think that he's going to be hanging around for quite a while.
Sure, real quick, just to the Iron Man, and then we can move on, because I don't think this was meant to be a large discussion point, right? Iron Man does have that 4 physical defense.
Right? Oh, yeah, so which
I think
is
a
huge.
4 defense a on a 3-strike character, right? He's kind of, right? We said before, Miles has average stats. Iron Man has something better than that, right? We're talking about the same stamina behind them, and then combined with Invincible Iron Man. So I understand why we compare the two, and you know, let us know on Twitter or Discord what you think. If you're not part of the Discord, you can join that by checking out our Patreon, patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. So I like Spider-Man. I'm going to play Spider-Man. I don't personally consider Spider-Man tanky, but I do like him. He's a really good character.
Yeah, I'd say he is deceptively tanky.
I think that he's not right. Easy to take out, right?
Yeah.
He can be sticky.
So now let's circle back. I get it. Now let's circle back to Great Responsibility. Allied characters may reroll one defense die. Additionally, they may modify and reroll failure results while they're holding or contesting an objective token. Whew. So I just wanted to clarify before we launch into the discussion on this for our listeners, in case it's not obvious, because it's a little bit hard, I think, to understand at first. This is 2 separate effects on the leadership. So the first effect is all of your characters get to reroll one defense die. The second effect is that while your characters are holding or contesting objectives, they get to reroll skulls. It doesn't mean that every skull you roll, you automatically reroll. You still have to have a way for that character to get rerolls. So for example, the leadership means I get to reroll one defense die. If that's a skull, if I'm holding an objective token, I can reroll that one die instead of a different dice. But it starts to be really interesting once you include other ways to reroll, like, for example, Spider Sense.
Yeah, and I think just to be extra, extra clear, Spider Sense, because of the affiliation, you will be able to reroll failures with Spider Sense, right? Like Pat said, those are 2 separate clauses. You can always reroll failures when you're holding or contesting an objective. In addition, you may reroll one defense die. So it's pretty major.
Yeah, I mean, and just this is why I wanted to talk about how tough Miles is as a way to illustrate this, right? But we just mentioned that Miles on his own with Spider Sense and Stealth is quite tough for his cost. When you add in Great Responsibility, so he gets to reroll 2 dice, then reroll 1 dice, and he can reroll skulls, that has to be better than Invincibility, right?
Here's what I will say, and I don't think we're supposed to. Invincibility always reduces incoming damage by 1. You could reroll those 3 dice and end up not reducing anything.
Yeah, but I could reroll those dice and get 3 reductions.
Right, and all I'm saying, and this might just be a difference, I would rather have something I can count on as opposed to something I have to throw dice at.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but obviously that stops being true at some point, right? If I say you can take 1 damage or you can roll 10 dice, you're going to take the 10 dice.
Right, but we're not at 10 dice. We're at 3 rerolls. And at
right,
3
it's getting to that line where I'm tempted, right? I think I might take the 3 rerolls.
It's getting closer. I'll definitely give you that, but I don't know. I like reducing damage. But again, it depends on the quality of the attack coming into you. To Pat's point, right, if I'm guarding against a 11-dice Hadron from Rocket, I would rather have the 3 rerolls. Because 1 damage reduction at that stage doesn't really net me a whole lot, right? If I'm going against a 5-dice Strike, I would probably rather have the 1 damage reduction. So it definitely depends on the expected damage that you see coming to you. And then it depends on whether you're allowed to reroll dice, which we'll kind of get into a little bit later. But Great Responsibility is really, really, really cool. I also want to shout out that you can reroll failures on your attack rolls. It's, I don't know, it's pretty sweet.
Yes. It's actually anything, right? It's so anything that you have that lets you reroll dice, you can reroll. So it's correct. Defense, attack, and dodge are the only things I can think of in the game right now that you could reroll. But, you know, in theory, if you had characters that could reroll other stuff, then this would work for that. What other stuff is there? Like interacting with objectives? Pretty narrow. But
I don't think you can reroll with an interact yet, can you?
No, but I mean, if there was a character that could do that, this would work for that, right? Because it's just any die result. So that's really, really cool. And it opens up, I think, a lot of interesting thoughts about which characters do you take in this leadership to try and maximize it. I don't think we're going to have enough time for that for this episode, but maybe we cover it in the after credit scene and think about which characters might be able to get the most out of Great Responsibility.
Yeah, and we can always go back when we do cover our Web Warriors affiliation review after Pat and I get some more games under our belt here. We'll definitely cover that more in depth. So again, patreon.com/acrossthebifrost to stay up to date and know when we're dropping new episodes. New episodes for the public always drop on Tuesdays. Is there anything else you want to cover about Miles? I think he's pretty great. I have one knock on him, and that is he's not the best at generating power. But outside of that, I really like him.
So I want to say two things. The first, I want to go back to Great Responsibility and say, oh my gosh, I love the name of this leadership. I think it's so cool to reference such an iconic, what's the word? Theme or saying, or is it a catchphrase? I don't know. The motto of Spider-Man, right? With great power comes great responsibility. And I really like the thematic play of the spider people, like wanting to just stay alive and focus on saving people, you know, doing the mission, escaping with the briefcase or whatever it might be, escaping with the computer, and trying their hardest when the most is on the line, right? Which is shown by rerolling failures when they actually have those tokens. I think this leadership is just so perfect in terms of theme.
Yeah, I think it's a proverb, right?
Is that how you class it? A proverb? Maybe.
Scripture. It's biblical. It's scripture. There we go. Moving on.
Oh, really? There we go. So it wasn't, in fact, first coined by Uncle Ben, if I've been lied to. If it's scripture, I'm sure it came from scripture.
It's not actually scripture. Sense. Sorry. Sorry. Let me be clear. I just said it was scripture because I thought that was funny. I don't think it's actually from any biblical.
Okay. Well, who knows? In any case.
You're the one that sees through all of time, Pat. You should know this.
Okay, well, I can Google it if you want, but I'd rather it remain a happy mystery.
I don't want to ruin it with that either. We'll just leave it.
But yeah, I think that theme is super cool. And then the other thing I wanted to say actually was just a firm agreement with you. I think this character looks great on paper when you read what he does, but he's going to have a massive problem with power, right? Because his generator costs 4 and it costs him power to increase it. Like, his first couple of turns are not going to be very good, where... Like, let's say you're just playing him outside of Avengers for a second. Let's say you're playing him in Web Warriors, which seems pretty likely. You're not going to swing on turn 1. If you swing on turn 2, you're probably not going to Venom Blast. If you advance on turn 1 and interact with an objective, you're not going to swing on turn 2, most likely. You're probably not generating power from taking damage in the first turn because you're stealthed. Like, you're probably just going to find that he is slow to get going. And he probably will only start to really come into his own around the middle of the game. Around turns 3 and 4 is when he's really going to start to reach his full potential.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. And I think we'll talk about it maybe later, maybe in the affiliation review. I think he's a good candidate to look at ways that you can transfer power, generate additional power, either through Crisis or something like Advanced R&D. Yeah, I do agree. He's a slow starter. And it's one of the main reasons I really loved him in Avengers. But if you're playing against Miles, I strongly advise that you don't take nickel and chunk damage into him. I think you make it so that he has to struggle through his initial power generation. He's not someone I want to slap for 2 or 3 damage just because I can early on.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. So let's move on now to the second character that comes in the box, Ghost Spider, Gwen Stacy. Starting with her stat line, very similar to Miles. She's 5 stamina on both sides. She has a long movement, though. Still size 2, still 3 threat, and 3/3/3 defenses. So what do we think of that, TT?
Right. I mean, if 5 medium, 3/3/3 is average, I think she's above average, right? She'd be what I'd call a mobile 3 threat character. And she, saying that with only her base stat line, it only gets worse, right? Or better,
yes.
I guess.
So she has 3 physical attacks, which is pretty unusual. What do you make of them?
First of all, I wish they weren't all 3 physical, but I love her attack suite. And we can kind of run through them, I guess. The first one is Spider Technique. She has 2 builders, is what I'll say. The first one is Spider Technique, though. It's a 2/4, range 2, 4 dice. Basic builder text, right? Damage equal to power. If this character has already attacked the target character during its activation this turn, you add 3 dice to it. Okay, well, there's good amount of potential there. If this character has advanced or been placed during its activation this turn, after the attack is resolved, it may advance long. That's super bouncy. She can go all over the place. It pretty much means she's always going to be able to get two long moves if one of those long moves can just get her into a spider technique range, right?
Right, so at face value, if you ignore all other things on her card and any other interactions with other pieces in the game, right, she has some cool options where she might be able to start her activation and hit twice to do four dice, then seven dice, or she might be able to move long, hit someone, and move long again, which is already quite a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, so we're one attack in, and I like her, right? I'm already... She's pretty cool. What about her next attack? What do you think about Impact Webbing? Her second builder, right?
Yeah, Impact Webbing is identical to Spider-Man Peter Parker's Impact Webbing attack. It's range 4, power 4, physical. It gives one power when the attack is resolved, and it has wild push. If the target character is size 2 or less, then you push it away short before damage is dealt. I mean, this attack is just fine, right? It's not good damage. We know that 4 dice physical with no other flashy effects is pretty much as bad as it gets for attacks in terms of damage output. So it is weak, but reliably generating one power at range is not to be scoffed at, because she has several 2-power superpowers. So it enables her to do a lot of range play where she can advance, shoot at range 4, and use one of her 2 powers just super reliably. And the opportunity to push targets is always nice to have.
Yeah, I'll say that this helps mitigate what Miles doesn't have, right? She is able to generate power a little more consistently. Right, like we talked about, her builder is pretty inconsistent for the power game, but I really like that she has the option to be that kind of flanker with her long movement and super balancing. She's still able to generate power on her own. So I think Impact Webbing is a really, really welcome addition to her. And I like Impact Webbing on Peter Parker too. We haven't done a Peter Parker episode, but I'm sure we'll cover him when we do the Web Warriors affiliation.
Yeah, and there's some circumstances, I think it depends on your target, but a lot of the time, generating one power with Impact Webbing is going to be more reliable than trying to get damage with Spider Technique if you're both rolling 4 dice. And so even up close, you might have some circumstances where you would rather just use the webbing to get power than gamble on the Spider Technique.
Yeah, and even for the double attacking line, I think there's a lot of times where my first attack would be the Impact Webbing, get that guaranteed power, and my second swing would be the Spider Technique, right?
Yeah, especially because Impact Webbing's wild push is a May push, it's optional. So you don't have any danger of pushing them out of range for the technique.
For sure. So last year's freestyle beatdown, which I always imagine her doing like a beatboxing thing, very, very 1990s of me. Range 2, 6 dice, cost 3. If this attack deals damage, the target, and if the target character is size 3 or less, after the attack is resolved, the target may be thrown away small. So it's a 3-6 spender, short range. Guaranteed throw, though, but the throw happens after... The throw has to have damage dealt, right? And it happens after the damage is resolved.
No, it doesn't have to deal damage. It's if this... it does. It doesn't have to deal damage. It's if this attack deals damage. Yeah, you're right. So the size restriction plus the damage restriction on a 6-dice physical attack, it's not an automatic throw by any means, right? Those two things combined to mean you're going to be in quite a lot of situations where it just doesn't work. But the range 2 is mitigated somewhat by her long move, and 3 power cost is reasonable. So this seems just fine, right? And I'm sure you're going to have situations where the optimal play for her to do damage is to start with the freestyle beatdown and then transition into the spider technique, which gets the bonus dice for being the second attack.
Yeah, she actually becomes like a reasonable swinger, right? Swinger is a weird word. Beat character. Maybe a freestyle beatdown character, right? So for 3 power, like you said, you get a 6 dice followed by a 7 dice attack. So that's something to be scoffed at for sure. And we'll talk about it later on. There's some ways they can increase their damage output too.
Yes. So moving on now to her superpowers. She has a pair of powers that are kind of mirrors of each other, right? So her active power is Webline, 2 cost. This is almost the same as Spider-Man Peter Parker's Webline. Push an enemy character within range 4 and in line of sight towards this character short. A character can be pushed by the superpower only once per turn. The reason I say it's almost the same as Spider-Man's is, bizarrely, hers requires line of sight and his doesn't. But apart from that, they're the same. And I think this ability is pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really good. And it kind of goes back to before when I talked about stealth. And this is just a slight quibble. for them both to be named Webline, but them to have different effects, it's just not my personal favorite thing in the game. I think it can just be a little confusing and kind of easy to mess up. But circling back, focusing on Gwen, I think
I've got to interject. How do you feel about the fact Venom also has Webline and his is different to the other twos as well? So there's three different Weblines all with the same name.
We can talk about this if you want. I'm not a fan of those at all. And I'll even go one step further. I don't like it that Strike has different variables in it as just a base attack as well. This is not my favorite. But Venom doesn't have Webline though, right? Venom has Web Snare.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I think these are the only two Weblines. It's a weird hill to die on, and I don't really want to die in it, but I wish all the Strikes were the same. I wish all Webline was the same. I'm happy that all Wallcrawler is the same, right? I'm happy all Stealth is the same. I don't want to see another Lifesaver power. To me, it's just a little bit confusing, and I wish there was a little more homogenization there. I understand the variance for like fluff and feel and things like that, but when you name two things the same thing and they have slightly different effects, I'm not a big fan. But I do think Ghost Spider is amazing, and this is a very minor quibble I have. I don't have many quibbles at all with Atomic Mass games. That's just one of them.
Yeah, so I think Webline obviously has really good control. I think it's clearly worth noting that it synergizes really well with her when she wants to do her aggressive game plan, right? Because it lets her pull enemies towards her so that she can make two attacks with her spider technique and freestyle beatdown. So it helps increase her threat as a high damage character, or at least someone that has the potential to do high damage when they've got a lot of power.
Yeah, I also think it's good for control, right? She's so bouncy, she can pull you away from things and away from her front line if she needs to. I know it's only a short pull, but there's a lot you can do with that, right?
Oh yeah, you're going to be really annoyed in situations where you've got a tough character on an objective and she's sitting there starting with no power and she runs in, hits the character, generates two power, moves away, and then pulls them with her with Webline. You know, she's going to do cool things that are going to be really thematic and make you think, yeah, that's a spider person. They do that.
Yeah, that's very fair. So Lifesaver is up next, Pat. Do you want to read us through that?
Yeah, so Lifesaver is reactive power, also costs two. When an enemy character targets another allied character with an attack within this character's line of sight and range four, then you may use a superpower. Push the targeted allied character towards this character short. If at the end of the push, the targeted character is outside of the attack's range or the defender's line of sight, the attack ends. If it is the attacker's activation and the attack did not target multiple characters, they may make another attack action. This superpower can only be used once per turn. So that is a huge amount of text, but it's quite easy to shortcut at this point because we have similar effects. It's very similar to Trickster, the difference being that it pulls the character instead of them making an advance. Very similar to Escort to Safety, right, which also pulls the character short. So this isn't the first time we've seen this kind of effect, but it's really interesting to me that we have this effect on a cheap character who can reliably generate two power a turn so that you can have this ability ready to use in a wide range of circumstances.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's cool defensive tech, and it's one of those things where your opponent really, really has to think about it. And anything like that, I'm a big fan of. So I like Lifesaver. I think it's a welcome addition to her. It's one of the reasons that I don't think I'll be using Freestyle Beatdown too often. It's just I'd rather have kind of ambient power sitting on her for the threat of Webline. It's also really long range, right? Range four is great for just her being able to have multiple people in this bubble, right?
Yes, it's very interesting to think about the ramifications of this, right? Because just like I said for Miles, the fact he's got such a unique effect on a cheap character in Venom Blast, well, Lifesaver's the same deal, right? It's a very unique, very powerful effect that you can now plug into any team for a low cost on a character that's also versatile and useful to have just on their own merits. And it can change things a lot, right? Like a lot of the most powerful players in the game right now are things involving drop-off. Drop-off gets completely screwed up by abilities like Lifesaver because you negate the attack, but because it's not their activation, they don't get another action. Charge effects get stifled by these effects, and charge characters are really popular. Abilities that you use before an attack that boost the attack, like, for example, Glaive's Edge on Corvus Glaive, for Asgard on Thor. They all get stopped by these effects. And these effects I'm naming are some of the more powerful and popular characters right now. So I think the existence of Ghost Spider has strong potential to change the characters people are playing the game.
Yeah, for me, I think Lifesaver, I hate saying this, game changer, because I said that for Venom Blast too, but I think it could be a game changer. I really, really want to see it more in conjunction with Loki. I messed around with that a little bit in like an Avengers roster, but I think it's huge. And again, the impact that that's able to have as a three-threat character to me is greater than the character's threat, if that makes sense. And that's why I think there's a lot of value between both Ghost Spider and Miles Morales.
Yeah. One thing I'm thinking about when I look at Ghost Spider is, how do I plug her into teams? Is she good enough that I want to include her in a lot of different rosters and a lot of different affiliations? Hard to know right now. Obviously, I need to play her a bit more before I make up my mind. But I can't help compare her to Shuri as a three-cost support character who is very fragile, but has a big impact through her support abilities. And I kind of think, if I'm in a situation where I have either Ghost Spider or Shuri standing back, and I have some other character going forward aggressively, what would I rather have? Would I rather have the reliable control from Shuri and rerolls, or would I like to have the flexibility of Ghost Spider and the option to pull back my aggressive forward character? I've got no idea, but it's really interesting, I think, to think about how she might plug in and change up rosters.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be as ubiquitous as Shuri if I was to buy like future stock on her, right? I think she'll be a heavily played character, mainly because of her place in fluff, combined with the fact she's a good character. I see Miles, right, being put into more as a three-cost flex spot than I see Gwen. But that being said, I think she's really good. And for my testing games, I've been sticking both of them just in Avengers, and I've been playing them both in Web Warriors. And I've never been disappointed to have them. All I'll say, and this I think is a great, great thing, right? And with great power comes great responsibilities. There are a lot of really good three-threat characters out there.
Yes.
But the fact that we've been considering them, I think, is a huge, huge plus, right?
Yes. How have you found Lifesaver with Captain America's discount?
Pretty awesome. Like, you can just Lifesaver them into range of Cap again, right? And then Cap can take the bodyguard. So I've actually really liked Lifesaver. My biggest issue with it is and it comes down to how I use Gwen. I've mainly been using her kind of where I used old Widow. So she's mainly been wide and flanking, so she doesn't have a ton of Lifesaver targets. But you can definitely do some cute stuff with them. I really like her. She's great for grabbing something unexpected and just bouncing around with it all over the place. So I really liked her. I like the discount. I like being able to webline consistently. Both of them have felt great in Avengers. I don't know if that's the best home for them. Everyone in this podcast knows I'm a little bit biased, obviously, or everyone that listens to this podcast, but I've really liked them in both places.
Nice. I can see that. I look forward to playing them a bit more myself.
Yeah, I also think she'll fit well in Cabal because of impact webbing, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, may do. The four dice damage is a little bit unreliable for power generation, but I could see it. I could see it for sure. Yeah, it might be a thing. So we have one more item to cover in this pod. At the time of recording, one of the three Team Tactics cards in the box has been shown off by AMG. So we're just going to talk about that one. Maybe in a future episode, we'll cover the others if they're exciting enough. But the one card we have to talk about is All Webbed Up. TT, why don't you tell us what it does?
Well, first of all, it has a fantastic piece of art. It costs three. It's a Web Warrior card. A Web Warrior character may spend three to play this card. Each enemy character within range three of that character of the played this card suffers the slow special condition. When an allied Web Warrior character is attacking a character suffering the slow special condition this round, add two dice to the attack roll. So there's a control element to it. It's reasonably priced. It's not tied to Miles or anyone, right? Outside of you have to be playing Web Warriors. And two dice is pretty huge. It takes those kind of mediocre hitters and gives them a round where they can really do some work, right, Pat?
Yeah, it seems great. I think I dispute that cost three is reasonable. I think when you get into cost three, you're starting to get to that point where you can't just pay it offhand. You have to start really planning about when you're going to use it. But even so, just applying slow to every enemy within range 3 on its own might be enough that I would consider this card, because that is a large potential to apply slow to multiple characters. But the fact that every one of your affiliated characters gets to increase their damage by 2 dice on every attack they make against any slowed character, not just characters slowed by this card, right? It's so much dice damage, potential. It's so much potential for damage on top of the control. To me, it seems really, really good. I think it's also interesting that it has some counterplay, right? Where if I really want, as the opponent, I can start shaking those slows, right? I can activate a character that hasn't yet been beaten up and get rid of the webs so that I have some more resilience. But in alternating activations, it might be difficult for me to get rid of them all. Or just the fact that that is using all my actions might be too high a cost. And I see this as being a good control effect and a good damage increasing effect.
Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal card. And the more I think about it, I think you're right. Actually, 3 power isn't super reasonable. In my head, I was comparing it to like multi-power and multiple characters, but it's actually easier to generate a lower amount of characters across multiple characters than it is to generate 3 on a singular character. And we're already talking about how these characters, like Miles kind of struggles for power generation. Gwen can get there, but it takes a little bit of work. But anyway, I'll recant my statement. I've come around to your line of thinking. I do think it's really cool, though, and I think it provides multiple avenues of play, and it's why a card like Crew of the Milano, and I think we covered this in our Guardians episode, might get more value as the game progresses, right? Crew of the Milano is obviously fantastic against this. You can use it as a preventative method, or you can use it as a reactive method. And it's one of the reasons, like I just said, I'm just going to be redundant, but that if I was to buy future stock in that card, I would think it would be rising, just because obviously as the game progresses, we're only going to add more effects to the game. But I really like this card. I think it's really cool. I love that it affects things in multiple levels. And it's strong enough that that combined with the affiliation that I think Web Warriors is a pretty, pretty reasonable affiliation at this stage.
Yeah, I think my hot take on this card, having never played with it, is that it's up there as the defining team tactic card for an affiliation, right? It's one of those cards that you will always take in your 8 if you're planning to play that affiliation, in the same way as something like Odin's Blessing, Avengers Assemble, and Wakanda Forever. It seems great. It's versatile, it's powerful. I love it. I do wonder how much it encourages me to take affiliated characters, because obviously it's a very powerful effect, but it is also only one part of the table. So maybe I don't feel strongly incentivized to take 4 spider people when I can just have 2 or 3 together on one side of the table and plan to use all webbed up, and my unaffiliated characters can go somewhere else. And I also wonder about the value of other slow effects, because none of the Web Warriors have ways to apply slow outside of this card. And it makes me think, do I want to include someone like Hawkeye so that he can apply slows earlier in the game, and then I can have this damage boost on different parts of the table in the same turn?
Yeah, I mentioned Loki before, and I think it's just another like soft synergy for Loki being combined, right? When we have Gwen moving things around combined with Loki's Trickster, Loki has slow on a beam. It doesn't require damage, right? It doesn't require damage to be dealt. It's just a guaranteed slow, right? Where Hawkeye has
no. It does. It does require 1 damage, and
I can't. I don't have this card up.
Hawkeye's requires a wild. I can't think of any effect in the game that automatically applies slow aside from all webbed up. Maybe there's something, but
yeah, the game's
definitely tricky to get slows out.
Yeah, so I don't know that I would build for that personally. I mean, it is cute to your point, right? You play all webbed up, they activate, they use the Asgardian affiliation, they clear it on character X, you activate later on, toss the slow back on, and then beat them some more. I think more, if I was playing with Web Warriors, I would try to get your value from the attack as immediate for it, and then anything you would get additionally would just be gravy, if that makes sense, right? I think we're going to talk about him in the after the credit scene, but Venom is a character, right? I want to use this, I want Venom to just start attacking right away.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I really like it. I like this card, and I really strongly agree with you that looking at the characters, the leadership in this card, I am excited to play Web Warriors. They seem really, really cool to me.
Yeah, I've played them a couple times. I've had them played against me. Having all webbed up played against me the first time, I'm like, oh, that's really good. this turn's going to suck. And it did. So I think they're in a great space. I think they're a very welcome addition. I think it's really awesome to see the way that AMG keeps developing. And I think it's really interesting to think about how the meta would have changed if this was an option way back when at CP10. So, you know, better late than never. I'm happy they arrived. And yeah, I can't wait to get more games with
them. Yeah, me too. Well said. So I think that about wraps us up for this episode. In the after credits scene, we're going to talk about making Web Warriors rosters. Obviously, this is going to be a bit of a hot take, ACS. We're going to look at Spider-Man, Venom, and some unaffiliated characters. So patrons, please hang around for that. Thank you very much for listening. TT, why don't you sign us off?
Well, that was a great sign off. I don't have to sign us off. You did it.
Great.
Yeah.
Right. I give it like a 6 out of 10, but if that's good enough for you, you know, if that's the across the Bifrost standard of quality, then fine by me.
No, that was a great sign off. You did it. It was great. It was seamless. You didn't have to, you just run with it. I thought that was perfect.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a pod that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere across the Bifrost, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.
And then it's got a lot of text to it. Let me actually get the full thing up instead of doing it from memory with my shorthand. I'll edit this out so it's a little more seamless. No one will notice.
We are well prepared. Do, 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 do.
Maybe I won't edit this out. All web bub active. A web warrior character may spend 3 to play this card. Each enemy character within 3 of the character that played this card suffers the slow condition. And there's more. That's weird wording. Each enemy character that suffers a slow condition this round?
What?
Oh, never mind. I'm going to edit this out. I'm just going to take it from the top. Sorry, my bad.
Take it away.